Thank you, Brother Bob. Thankful to be able to be here today. Thankful to see each and every one of you do have some interest in your prayers. Please pray for me as I stand before you. It's a fearful thing to stand before God's people. Lord, be with me. I'd like to speak to you today on a subject on my mind. And the subject is watershed moments. Watershed moments. And you say, Brother Brad, what are you talking about? But watershed moments is this. That when, you know, you ever seen out in the water that water will be still sometimes. It's something that comes up out of that water. There may be, you know, a ridge or the high point of whatever is coming out. And as that high point comes up out of that water, the water kind of sheds off of that and goes to each side. And you start to see some things clearly. And you know, there's been times within Scripture, and many times within Scripture, but there's been some watershed moments among God's people, and especially in the Old Testament times and New Testament times also. But in the Old Testament times, you look back, and there's some things that you learn from those Old Testament times that points towards what is to come in the New Testament. But there's things and lessons that we're able to learn from. You have the Ten Commandments that was given in the Old Testament. You remember that. The Ten Commandments isn't done away with, is it? It's still there just as good as it is was back then. It's still good today as it was back then. So that is the... That is something that God's Word has. You know, in Timothy it says all Scripture is given. It wasn't just saying, hey, the New Testament's given, the Old Testament is not needed. It's not saying, hey, only the Old Testament's needed and the New Testament is not needed. It says all Scripture is given. And then it goes in what it was given for. Now, I don't want to get into that point right this minute, but what I want to go into is talking about those watershed moments of Scripture. But I want us to look over here in 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. And it says here in verse 21, "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions with a question mark?" Now, notice that he said, "How long halt ye between two opinions?" Now, notice this. This is a watershed moment in your life, isn't it? When you've got two opinions there, and you've got decisions to be made, there's decisions, and he's saying, hey, how long halt ye between two opinions? How many times has the children of Israel gotten to that point where God told them something, God sent the prophet unto them, God sent his man unto them to teach them, to preach unto them, and to declare his word unto them, and hey, they would get to that point where they would have choices that they had to make at that day and time. That's the problem we've got today in America today, because hey, there's watershed moments and people ain't making the right choice on each side of that watershed point. You see, there comes a time you've got to choose, quit straddling the fence and get on one side or the other side. You got to choose the right side. But there's a right side, there's a wrong side, and then there's straddling the fence. The Bible teaches us, hey, that the Lord would rather spew you out if it be warm, in other words. Hey, lukewarm is, hey, nasty. I don't like lukewarm coffee. I don't know about you. Do you like lukewarm coffee? And I sure don't like lukewarm Coca-Cola or lukewarm water. Nasty. But brothers and sisters, I want my coffee either hot, or I want my coffee cold, or I want my Coca-Cola. There's only one way to drink Coca-Cola, and it's as ice cold as it gets. Because this lukewarm mess in these refrigerators out here in these grocery stores and gas stations, nasty. They don't keep refrigeration as cold as they used to. You notice that? It's probably all that EPA stuff and trying to be all, you know, woke. But brothers and sisters, let me tell you this. There's watershed moments in a child of grace's life that we have choices to make. And those watershed moments, when it comes up to that point and it starts cresting, and you start seeing something come up out of that water, it's like a fish that's swimming through a stream. And then all of a sudden there's that watershed moment where that fish comes up out of that water and you see the water pouring up off of it. Or a rock, when the water's been up high and the water starts going down. And as the water starts receding, because the rain has calmed down and that water's receding, all of a sudden there's a watershed moment of the rock that's in that water. And all of a sudden the water just starts going around it. And you see that water just kind of pour off of it, you know. And the water's rushing down the stream and the water's coming through. And then all of a sudden it comes across that rock and it just sheds around it, doesn't it? Or it goes right over and just sheds off of it. And you think, wow. And you see how smooth that rock is, and as it keeps receding, and that water, it keeps coming up out of that water, keeps coming out of that water, and the water keeps receding down. The next thing you know, that rock gets bigger, doesn't it? And the sun and the wind and the air dries that rock up on top. And you'll see, it's kind of like just a little crest that'll be dry and everything else below is wet. You see clearly then, didn't you? But before then, before it started cresting up out of that water, all you could see was a faint resemblance of that rock. And you see the water going across it. And you see the light reflecting off that water. You see only just a hint, a form of the rock. But once it comes up, and once there's that moment when it crests, you know that rock is there, and you don't have to guess where that rock is, do you? Well, right here, there is a watershed moment right here in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him, not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophet are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces. And lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, little g, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And they and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped up upon the altar which was made, and it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god, little g god, notice that, little g, not, it means he's not the real God, and he's recognizing that. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, and peradventure, he sleepeth and must be awake. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. Now, how does that sound today? You got people out here wanting to be on drugs, cutting themselves, stabbing themselves, doing all manner of evil, ungodly stuff so that they don't have to live in reality today. Brothers and sisters, reality is this. Life goes on. The problem with them back then, they didn't want the reality of things. They wanted to serve a little g God so that they could serve themselves. You see, that's a problem that's been going on since Adam and Eve. When Adam and Eve chose to sin there, they wanted to be as gods, my dear friend, little g. You see what I'm saying? It wasn't, hey, they didn't want to be, they didn't want to serve God like they ought to. Hey, Adam chose, and he chose willingly because God had spoken to Adam. And brothers and sisters, that's when death was passed upon all men. That's where depravity comes from. Hey, that's where all that sin nature, that's where we inherit that sin nature. It came and it was passed upon us. But guess what, brothers and sisters? It doesn't mean that because we inherited it, that means that we automatically have to act towards it. Because let me tell you this, because there's those watershed moments that God's Word teaches us, hey, you choose this way or you choose this way. The Israelites had that watershed moment at that point in time when Elijah was telling them, how long halt ye between two opinions? How often have we gotten between two opinions in our life? And we sit there and we bite our nails, and I've been there. Trust me. And I think a gospel minister gets to those points probably more than anybody. Because there's times where you feel like, Lord, I'm trusting you, and you've been walking by faith for so much, and you think, hey, I've got to make this decision, and I've got to do this or that, and I need to know, Lord, what is your will, not my own will. Well, you remember that Jesus Christ taught the disciples, when he taught them how to pray, what was it that was said in the prayer? Let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Brothers and sisters, how often have we gotten to a point in our lives that we think, hey, God, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and get rid and shed off, hey, our nature, our old sin nature. It's like Elder Steve mentioned, I believe it was Elder Steve mentioned at the meeting this past weekend. He said that, hey, he said, when they took the sacrifice into the temple and they burnt the sacrifice, the flesh had been burned. The flesh would be burned off of it. All of that mess would be burned off, and it would be a good smell unto the Lord. When that sacrifice wasn't burned properly, when the sacrifice wasn't right, it was a stench unto God. Brothers and sisters, when we do not take our flesh off, when we do not crucify ourselves unto the Lord, hey, you say, Brother Brad, what you talking about? The Bible teaches, take up this cross and follow me. Your cross is your daily sacrifice. Your cross is what your sacrifice is. Have you taken your daily sacrifice up and followed the Lord in obedience and in truth in the way that God's Word teaches us to do? Have you done that? And brothers and sisters, it gets to a point that in our lives we have to sacrifice things in our lives that we've got to sacrifice because it's pleasing unto God and based upon Scripture. At this point in time, these people, hey, they say nothing to Elijah. They said nothing. Some people say, oh, well, that's good. Really? Really? Is that like half empty? Is it half full? What is it? How long halt ye between two opinions? There's a watershed moment there. And Elijah's gotten to that point that he's putting it on them. He says, hey, and he's showing them that watershed moment. You know, the water was all the way there, and something starts cresting the trees. And as it's cresting, the water recedes from both sides, right? Equally, probably. Right here, he's saying, hey, you don't put any under a fire under yours. I'm not putting any fire under mine. We've got it all right here. But there's going to be that watershed moment. We're calling. I'll call on my God. You call on your little g God. And we'll see who's the true living God. As you know the story, that hey, they put water all the way around, drenched it, make sure that it was not going to start. I don't know if you've ever done this, but you take a campfire in an area and you try and build a campfire in an area that is absolutely drenched. The wood's drenched, the ground's drenched, everything's drenched. You're not going to get fire started on that. And even if it's drenched to a point like they drenched it, and you take gasoline on it and you pour gasoline on it, it's so drenched it dilutes the gasoline, it's still not worth anything. But see, when you pour gasoline on it, and you take a match to it, and you try to set it on fire, and it doesn't work, or you take some kind of fuel or whatever to start that campfire up, because you know that that ground's been drenched, and you're trying to get it started and dried out. It just don't work. It doesn't work. But when it's dry, you don't even have to have, if you have the right wood, this starter wood, if you have the right wood, you don't have to have gasoline for that fire. You have a good piece, and you light it, it's going to catch on fire. I love to save old Christmas trees for that very reason, because you break them suckers off, throw it in there, you know, and in seconds it's gone. And if you have the right firewood, when it goes, it catches. But if you have bad wood, man-made wood, it doesn't catch. And it takes a lot to get man-made trees. And you said, Brother Brad, what is man-made trees? Well, I'm fixing to tell you. You have an oak tree that's God-made, natural tree. And you have a Bradford pear tree that is not a God-made tree. It is man-made. It's where man has gone and has taken two different kinds of trees and mixed and mingled and changed and altered the genetics of that tree. It's not God made. And they make that tree, and we had plenty of them at our old house, and the stench thereof is horrible. I hate the smell of it. But the beauty thereof, to look upon it, you just automatically see the beauty that is just absolutely gorgeous on a Bradford pear, but they rot from within and the split. And you won't know that they're rotting very well, but they rot from within. Well, that's what happens when man-made doctrines, man-made practices, man-made customs, man-made practices enter into the New Testament church, and we're not taking the Word of God and keeping the Word of God, or walking by faith, or living by faith and doing what God's Word says, and we take those man-made things and we enter them in, and we've been living on it, and we say, hey, this is the way it's been done all these years, and hey, old Baptist has been doing this all these years. But guess what, brothers and sisters, is it based on the Word of God? It doesn't matter. Old Baptist isn't about, hey, being a primitive Baptist from way on back and what the primitive Baptist doctrine. I don't want the primitive Baptist doctrine. I want Jesus Christ doctrine, as it was well preached this weekend. Jesus Christ doctrine matters. Did you hear Jesus Christ say, hey, the primitive Baptist doctrine? Jesus said, my doctrine is my Father's doctrine. And the disciples said, my doctrine is Jesus' doctrine. And it wasn't based upon the disciples. It wasn't based upon the apostles. You got the church of the apostles down there built upon man and man's so-called doctrines. But brothers and sisters, let me tell you this. It's not built upon them. You've got people out there calling their church at 12 stones. Really? You're building it based upon 12 stones that was there that only represented what God had it represent in Scripture. You've got people out here building upon man and man's abilities instead of building upon the Word of God and the Word of God alone. And brothers and sisters, we've gotten those watershed moments that people say, hey, well, this is the way we've been doing it for umpteen ages. So what? If you're wrong, you're wrong. Because that tree's going to split. Like the Bradford pear. You see what I'm saying? The Bradford pear gets to that point where it's rotted to the point that it can't survive any longer. It's dead within. And the weight and how big it's gotten out of the age that it's gotten, all of a sudden just splits wide open. And trust me this, I fixed enough fences on my neighbor's side, their fence, from those splitting trees. It cost me money. And I was happy to pay because it was my job to pay for their fence to be fixed. It was my job to get out there and fix that fence. But do you think I was going to keep that old tree that looked so beautiful and stunk so bad in my yard? Absolutely not. I would be out of my mind. I'd started getting rid of those trees and cutting them down and to get rid of them because I didn't want them to be a danger and a hindrance to my house and fall on my house or my neighbor's fence or damage my neighbor's property. Do you see what I'm saying? There come a watershed moment. Brother Brad had to say, hey, you know what? This is dangerous. This is dangerous. And we get to that point in time in our life and in the church that it becomes dangerous when people start taking the practices and the customs that they were accustomed to and making it the traditions and making it the commandments of God when they're not the commandments of God. Brothers and sisters, danger, danger, danger. The old Baptist is based upon the Word of God, rightly dividing the Word of truth. That's what the old Baptist is about. Or you want to call it primitive Baptist. But when we start making ourselves our own wisdom, our own knowledge, our own whatever, we have failed to understand truly what the primitive Baptist and what the old Baptist is about, which is rightly dividing the word of truth, worshiping in spirit and in truth. You see what I'm saying? The fact that God blessed in the way that He blessed 2 weeks ago, and to hear the fame go out among people from all over the place is absolutely amazing to see God work in a mighty way with so little, because that's the way that the Scriptures are. You see, the Bible talks about a remnant, something that is small and of a larger amount. The New Testament church has not always been big. It's been small. It's a remnant that overfloweth with righteousness, as the Scripture teaches. It's a remnant of a larger amount. The larger amount is the elect of God, and the remnant is what you see there. In the ocean, you only see, hey, those watershed moments again. You see the beaches, that's a watershed moment. That's where the land is higher than the water, isn't it? Those watershed moments you get to see, and you see the sand visible. Well, brothers and sisters, that's what we are in the New Testament church. We're a remnant. And Elijah there, and Elijah called to the Lord that he bring down fire from above. And the Lord brought down fire, even though that it had been drenched. God had brought down fire there and answered his prayer. And brothers and sisters, it consumed it. It licked up the water. It looked up everything around. It consumed it. But brothers and sisters, do you think that that false god Baal was able to do that? Absolutely not. He was saying, hey, you need to get out there and call on them. They were cutting themselves, doing all manners of things. Brothers and sisters, that's the way it is, like I was saying earlier. That's the way it is this day and time that people are out here getting their own way, worshiping themselves. You've heard me preach on narcissism. It's when people are so in love with themselves. There's a new song out Elder Steve was talking about this weekend. He was talking about this. There's a new song from a popular individual talking about that they could give flowers to themselves. They could do all this for themselves. They love themselves better than anybody. How sick is that? When we get to thinking that, hey, we've got the answers for everything. Are you hearing? I'm not saying giving the Word of God for something. I'm not saying that. I'm saying when you think you've got your own answers, your own understanding, the Bible says, lean not upon your own understanding, but upon every word of God is what you're supposed to lean upon. If you think that your understanding, your ability, your whatever, this world's going to make sense to you, or whatever you learned over in such and such education center, I don't give a flip about it. The world is separate from the New Testament church, and the church is separate from the world. Because what you do with the church is separate, and it's based upon the Word of God. It's based on faith. It's based on living by faith. It's not based upon your abilities, your understanding, and what you think. You understand what I'm saying? It's about everything that you're supposed to do in the Word of God and not based upon all that man says, hey, this is the way you got to do it. This is the way I do it. This is the way my investment counsel has taught me to do. This is the way that my business partner told me to do it. It's not based upon that. It's not based upon if my wife was not an old Baptist and did not believe in the Lord. And she told me, hey, you know what? Y'all sorry rascals, you just got a handful of people. There ain't nothing worth coming into the house of God. Y'all are just a joke. There's buildings out here with numbers and figures and a couple of words on it. And they're just busting at the seams. There's a college up there. I don't have to mention the name. There's a college up there that's been on the news with all these people coming in for day after day after day after day. But if you go and you look and you do your studies and you find out what is behind it, brothers and sisters, it's not of God. There is a lot of things that is out of order. Worship is supposed to be in order. It's not to be out of order. It's supposed to be in order according to the Word of God. That's why it goes right back to the Scriptures where it talks about the remnant. Are you getting what I'm saying? The Bible says, remove not the ancient landmarks of your fathers. Why does it say that? Now I'm going to go, I had brought this up. I wanted to read to you. I thought this was something. I wanted to read this to you. Let me see here. Right here. One of the synonyms and antonyms that's mentioned, if you look up the meaning of watershed, the meaning of watershed. I want you to, I'm not going to read all these because, you know, you've always got the climax in movies, right? That's one of them. You got a corner for a cornerstone. You know, you've got a landmark, a milepost, a milestone, a turning point. There comes points in that. We have watershed moments in our lives like that. And the landmarks are watershed moments. It's that point, it's that crest, it's that line that's been drawn that says, hey, from here over here is yours, and from here over here is mine. And there comes a time that people love to muddy the water on those watershed moments. They love to muddy the water. Well, Satan loves to muddy the water on you, brothers and sisters, when it comes to watershed moments in your life and there's choices that has to be made. There's choices. And we can either choose one way or we could choose another way. We could choose God's way or we choose man's way. And sometimes we make choices, you know, we all fail, right? We all fail. We all get weak. I've gotten weak in my life. So many times, it's like you said, the invisible mirror that us preachers have right here, we're preaching to ourselves. But I'm telling you, if we don't have that invisible mirror and we're not looking at ourselves, we're not doing anything much any good, right? Because every time a child of grace or a minister preaches the gospel, either before or after, Satan's always beating up on him, trying to get him discouraged. And like I've said before, that is the most popular tool, and it's not rusty because Satan uses it all the time. Will discourage you and get you to a point where you think, hey, oh my goodness. And then there comes those times where the word of God teaches us of things, and there's watershed moments where it's not so much discouragement, but you have choices in your life. You have choices. And God brings up points in your life that you think, I got it. May not be based upon you. It may not be based upon others. It may be just based upon God brings up something in your life and it's like, you know, for a gospel minister I'm talking about. And you've got to make that decision. What, Lord, what would thou have me do? You see that in prophets and ministers and those that led in Scripture. They had watershed moments throughout their ministry. And Apostle Paul got to those points where he would have watershed moments when he would be going in his travels. And it would be, hey, God would take him and use him on something, and then he would use them on something else. There would be watershed moments. Right here, there was that watershed moment there that Elijah brought forth. And Elijah brought that forth in a mighty way. And God shewed forth there that, hey, fire came down and consumed that, dried it up, and everything else was naught, wasn't it? You remember he had prayed for no rain. And it didn't rain for the space, I believe, of 3 years. And then he had to pray for rain again, and rain came. And, you know, and soaked the land. You remember over in Daniel chapter 3, there was a watershed moment there in that point. In Daniel chapter 3, you'll find where there those three Hebrews wouldn't do what they were asked to do there. They wouldn't bow down to the false gods there. You remember that there it was likened unto the Son of God that was there in the midst of the fire with them. We get to watershed moments sometimes in our life, and the world says, hey, you know, kind of like COVID era, don't meet or else there's a fine. Don't do this or else. Could you imagine living in a day and time in which they had choices they had to make like that? The men of God there had to make that choice. And they made that choice right. And you think, how was it right? They got thrown into a fiery furnace. But you say, hey, they were saved, weren't they? They didn't know that. They knew the Lord would save them and take care of them. They didn't know that they would still live the day that they were going to be able to speak to people here on this earth, did they? They were thrown in knowing the Lord would take care of them. They would either go to glory if they died, or they would still be here. They knew that. And the Lord was with them in that fire. Amen. That was set, heated seven times above what it needed to be, which is perfect number. Perfect number. It was perfectly done. And that meant that when the person that threw them in, he was consumed by that fire. Yet they were not harmed. So when it looked impossible, and it looked like, hey, I'm going to be consumed, I'm going to be destroyed, God was with it. There were times when God, there was watershed moments in my life that, you know, I would get to a point where I would lose loved ones, and it would be a watershed moment that it would be a point that I would get so low, and I would think, God, I don't know how I can go on. And I'd say, God, help me, because my daddy's gone. The man that I had to have at 19 years of age, my daddy's gone, Lord. What am I going to do? I don't have a clue. But my mama was there, and my mama was weeping, and my mama was mourning. But brothers and sisters, my God above took care of me, because I had looked up above everything else, and I had those watershed moments where, hey, the preacher man, my pastor, would direct me with the scriptures and get me focused upon God's word. That got me through. Brothers and sisters, that's the watershed moments we got in this life. We got watershed moments. Where are you going when you hit these hard times? It's hard. And when this country's out here forsaking God, when this country was founded upon godly principles and men of God that had a great deal of things. But brothers and sisters, let me tell you this. God is still on the throne, and he's still blessing this country regardless of what we deserve. Amen. God's been merciful to us. And brothers and sisters, like I told them down there, we're wondering why we've got so many problems. Let me tell you why we got so many problems. Because God's people wouldn't come into the house of God when Brother Steve and I would ask for prayer meetings to pray for this country. God's people stayed at home. God's people didn't care. God's people didn't want to be bothered on a Saturday. They didn't want to come into the house of God, put their differences aside, and pray unto God. You see what I'm saying? And we sit back at home, and we're wondering, hey, God, why is all the destruction and the judgment of, why is your judgment coming down on this land? Oh, well, they turned from God. Well, guess what? The remnant. Guess where the responsibility comes from? You know where the responsibility comes from? It comes from the remnant. Them that have the truth. Those that know better. And God blessed us with the truth. You understand what I'm saying? He's blessed us with the truth. And we are watershed moments where we know better. We know better. God's blessed you richly. And you got people like Brother Don over here that has risked his life. He's sacrificed for this country. And many just like him. Brothers and sisters, you don't think a man of God isn't risking their lives and laying down their lives for the house of God. You don't think that the child of grace, when the Bible teaches us to be a good soldier, you don't think that there are some things that God's people go through. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you this. We need to be getting in the ditches. We need to be getting in the foxholes. We need to teach our children how to fight and how to be able to withstand these fiery darts of this world by the Word of God. It ain't just knowing the Word of God, but how to apply it in your lives and how to be standing short. Because guess what? You're going to have the family. You're going to have the friends like I did that's going to look over you and look at me like they did when I was 19 years of age and say, "Brad, you poor thing, you're just so sorry. I feel so sorry for you. You ain't going to be mounting much to nothing." Well, guess what? They're wrong. Because God was in charge of that. I don't give a flip what they thought. Family, non-family, friends, churchmen, I don't care. Because the Word of God is right, and you can't get wrong with that. And we have a watershed moment, which you believe God or you believe man. You believe God or you believe yourself. You love God or you love man. You fear God. To fear God is the beginning of wisdom, the scripture teaches. You fear God or you fear man? You fear that old belly-aching family member that wants to bellyache about everything, or they've got their eyeball on you and treating you like dirt all the time? You fear that or you fear the living God that is above, that made them? You hear what I said? Made them. You fear the one that can destroy both body and soul in hell? Or do you fear that person that God made? Where are you today? We've got watershed moments in our lives. I want us to look at another portion of scripture there. You remember over in Joshua chapter 24? You remember that he had presented unto them, he said, "Choose you this day whom ye will serve." Choose you this day whom ye will serve. Either the gods on the other side, in other words, the true living God, or those that are coming out from the false gods of this world. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. What are you going to serve in this life? When the Bible teaches there in the New Testament, "Take up your cross and follow me," that was a watershed moment. There wasn't no ifs, ands, or buts, was it? The Lord Jesus says, "Take up your cross and follow after me." You remember in the New Testament, there in Matthew, when it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." It wasn't promising, hey, the riches of this world. It wasn't promising all the things that this world wants to promise you if you follow it. It wasn't, like I mentioned in a sermon before, when you get to that point in your life that you understand that when Aquila and Priscilla, like they did, that they showed Apollos the way of God more perfectly, when they showed Apollos the way of God more perfectly, he was an eloquent speaker, he was among the Jews, but he didn't have the truth. But brothers and sisters, the old Baptist church has the truth. And we ought to be encouraging one another in the Lord, us brothers and sisters, encouraging one another, showing one another, teaching one another, and trying to encourage our young folk here, our middle-aged folk, and our old folk how to do and how to get through these trials and hardships. Brothers and sisters, if we don't choose this day whom we will serve, guess what? If we're like those people that don't want to make a choice at those watershed moments, when those watershed moments happen, It's instantaneously. We don't have a choice to sit around and say, God, do I want to serve you or not? I don't know. You said, Brother Brad, you are cruel. No, I'm not cruel. Read the Word of God. When those watershed moments happened, when those points and times happened in their lives, are you listening to me, children? Listen up. When they happened, it was instantaneously. It was a choice that had to be made then. And if they fooled around, you remember that when the children of Israel was about to cross over into the promised land the first time, you remember this, before wandering 40 years in the desert, there was a watershed moment they had to follow and trust the Lord. And when they went over, there were two brethren, Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb were ready to go. And all of a sudden, the children of Israel standing there, and the men that was with them, got to that watershed moment and saw the men as great trees and were afraid of them. Are you hearing me? Here's the small remnant. Here's the small remnant. Here's that watershed moment, brothers and sisters. God's there with them, and the host of God is greater than them. And brothers and sisters, let me tell you this. That remnant was there, and they got up there to that point, and those men were there, and they looked at them. Hey, they looked at them, and they saw great men as great trees. And they turned around and they came back. My dear friends, and what they feared, guess what? The punishment for what they feared was greater than what they feared, my dear friends. There were for 20 and above died at one point, and 20 and below lived on. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's the way it is for the New Testament church. It gets to those watershed moments. And how heartbreaking is it? There's doors being closed all across the country. They were saying at that meeting this weekend, there's people closing their doors. And there's those watershed moments. They're not holding to the doctrines of the practice of the New Testament church. They're not holding to the scriptures. Their faith is failing them because they're putting their faith in man. They're putting their faith on other things and the world instead of having faith in God, as they were taught by the Holy Word of God. And maybe they had godly parents like I did. My daddy taught me to look to the Lord, even though that he struggled in his life, my dear friends. He struggled in his life of having faith. But one thing he taught me, put God first in all that you do. My second daddy to me, Lonnie Mazingo Jr., Elder Lonnie Mazingo Jr., was a daddy to me. He was there for me. Most of all, he was a pastor to me when I was at that young age. And I'll never forget when he there encouraged me when I was going through those hard times. And he gave me scripture because I would say, I'd call him up. I said, help me. I'm getting tired. God, I'm tired. You won't tired. Our Lord, let's look to our Lord Jesus. Don't look at Brad Hansard here. His own people took him to the cross and nailed him at the cross. They spat on him. They cast lots on him. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that knew God knew you before the foundation of the world. He chose you. That's a choice. Watershed moments are those choices. He chose you out. And he called you out. And he loved you with an everlasting love. Knowing each and every one of us perfectly. Look to Jesus. Because he was the one that, guess what? He was perfect. We are not. And one of the points, I'm going to make this, one of the points in that sermon on the way of God more perfectly was this. Notice how it says more perfectly. It didn't say perfect. It didn't say it's just right. It didn't say the way perfect. They showed him the way more perfectly. The only one that's perfect is Jesus Christ. The church isn't perfect. The church, well, I shouldn't say the church isn't perfect. The New Testament church Jesus Christ established, built on him, is perfect. We make a mess out of it. You see what I'm saying? We make a mess out of it. When we intervene, when we interject our thoughts, our worries, our whatever, our lack of faith, we make a mess out of it. But just like the children of Israel, they had choices. And it pointed to God's people today. We have choices. Our choices have consequences. God can bless and bless like he did the children of Israel, but when you get to watershed moments, you either stand on the word of God and you stand on the truth and you stand in the proper way, as Aquila and Priscilla taught them how to be in the way of God more perfectly, or you stand on your thoughts, your opinions, your lineage, your this, your that, whatever, whoever you think and whoever you hold in high regards, or you worship this person or that person. Shame on you if you worship people. Brothers and sisters, you will fail if you hold men in high regard like that. You know who I hold in high regard? Mainly God, first of all. And brethren that preach the gospel, that look to God and not themselves. That aren't men pleasers. Amen. Which is few and far between. You hear what I'm saying? Few and far between. I have respect, but I always, if I'm in my right mind and pray, I always will be, look to the Lord. Because that's who our deliverer is. That's who our Savior is. That's why in the old Baptist church, a lot of people don't like it, because the glory ain't going back on them. It's going to God. You hear what I'm saying? That's what I love about the old Baptist church, the simplicity. And the spirit that you have, and the feeling and the knowledge and the wisdom and understanding that God's ministers have. And if we don't start understanding the importance of what we've got to do and how we have to do it, and trusting God's word and not our own understanding, God can take away the blessings that he has in the New Testament church and give it to someone else. Are you hearing me? The only two people that did not die when they did not cross over that first time were Joshua and Caleb. Are you hearing me? You want to see another day? You've got great responsibilities as a child of grace and one that has the truth. And I'm speaking from experience. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a mighty God. Amen. Are you hearing me? We've got watershed moments. May God help us. May God strengthen us and forgive us and shew mercy unto us is all I got to say. Thank you for your time, your kind, sweet attention. Please continue to keep us in your prayer.